Right, thank you, Malachi. Such an amazing word. Honestly, the Ketuvi Heshalakim are just mind-blowing, opens up so much. Even the Torah itself, so many details which you can take in so many different levels. Probably it's not going to be enough lifetime just to actually, if you dive fully into the each verse and try to understand what it means and the depth. I'll just start with a prayer first. Heavenly Abba, Yehovah Eloheinu, Malek HaOlam, King of the universe, thank you for your word. Please open our eyes to see and our hearts to understand. Let your word reach the darkest corners of our souls, bringing light, transformation, and life to our lives. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Right, so today's parasha, as we read, if you can put the first slide, please, guys. The first one, please. Thank you. Ahare Mot, which means after the death, so parasha 29. And it follows the event as we read probably I think three parashas or a couple of parashas ago, when Aharon's two sons died as they decided on their own accord to offer Yehovah an authorized fire, if you remember that incident with his sons. And as we know, it costed them their lives. So let's just have a look what actually happened, just to refresh our mind. In Vayikra, Leviticus 10:1-2, but Nadav and Abihu, sons of Aharon, each took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire before Yehovah, something he had not ordered them to do. And this fire came forth from the presence of Yehovah and consumed them, so that they died in the presence of Yehovah. So in today's parasha, however, it seems that Yehovah is trying to prevent any more accidental deaths, teaching Israel and all of us that we cannot decide what Yehovah's holiness is. Yehovah is the one who clearly tells us, his people, defines what his holiness is, and it is really up to us to accept Yehovah's definition of holiness or not. And as we just read, Nadav and Abihu decided for themselves what Yehovah's holiness was and acted on their wild imagination or simply on a lack of respect or lack of love for Yehovah, and as we know, paid with their lives. It is a powerful reminder to all of us that Yehovah treats his holiness seriously. He does not accept compromises, even if actions appear to be good. For Yehovah does not look at the surface. He looks right into our hearts. As you know, during that time, the Holy of Holies was placed behind a thick, heavy curtain or veil in front of the atonement cover on the ark. Let us read Vayikra Leviticus 16:1-2. Yehovah spoke with Moshe after the death of Aharon's two sons when they tried to sacrifice before Yehovah and died. Yehovah said to Moshe, tell your brother Aharon not to come at just any time into the holy place beyond the curtain in front of the ark cover, which is on the ark, so that he will not die. So what it really means that not just anyone could enter the most innermost or sacred sanctuary, but only the high priest, Kohen Hagadol, and even then only once a year on the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. Vayikra Leviticus 16:29-31. It is to be a permanent regulations for you that on the 10th day of the 7th month you are to deny yourselves and not do any kind of work, both the citizens and the foreigners living with you. For on this day atonement will be made for you to purify you. You will be clean before Yehovah from all your sins. It is Shabbat of complete rest for you, and you are to deny yourselves. This is a permanent regulations. I guess when it comes to the veil that separated the Holy of Holies, then it gives us a striking contrast to the unlimited access that we as a believers in Yeshua have now. And we read in Hebrews 4:14-15. Therefore, since we have a great Kohen Gadol who has passed through to the highest heaven, Yeshua, the Son of Elohim, let us hold firmly to what we acknowledge as true. For we do not have a Kohen Gadol unable to empathize with our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted just as we are, the only difference being that he did not sin. And Matthew 27:50-51. But Yeshua again crying out in loud voice, yielded up his spirit. And at that moment, the parakeet in the temple was ripped in two from top to bottom. And there was an earthquake with rocks splitting apart. So, very big difference. So, what was before and what we have with Yeshua. So the final atonement has been made through Yeshua, and the veil is torn. Every man, woman, and child can have continual access to Elohim through Yeshua. And Hebrews 4:16, therefore, let us continually approach the throne from which Elohim gives grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Not sure about you, but when I was reading the parasha, and for me it was one of the mysterious parts of it was most memorable aspect of a sacrificial ritual for Yom Kippur, as we read, as a ceremony of with two gods. Let's just read this to refresh our mind. Vayikra Leviticus 16:5-10. He, Aharon, is to take from the community of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. Aharon is to present the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and his household. He is to take the two goats and place them before Yehovah at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then Aharon is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Yehovah and the other for Azazel. Aharon is to present the goat whose lot fell to Yehovah and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat whose lot fell to Azazel is to be presented alive to Yehovah to be used for making atonement over it by sending it away into the desert for Azazel. So the whole procedure, in my view, is quite mysterious. Two goats were selected, and then lots were casted. One lot was for Yehovah and another for Azazel. The goat for Yehovah was to be sacrificed, while the goat for Azazel was to be set free in the desert, carrying the transgressions, crimes, and sins of the people of Israel. I mean, it is a very interesting approach to the offering. Vayikra Leviticus 16:21-22. Aharon is to lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the transgressions crimes and sins of the people of Israel. He is to put them on the head of the goat and then send it away into the desert with a man appointed for the purpose. The goat will bear all the transgressions away to some isolated place, and he is to let the goat go in the desert. The word Azazel in English Bibles, traditionally starting from King James, was translated as a scapegoat. By meaning of the action, what that goat was doing, the word represents the entire removal or complete removal of sin and killed into the desert on the back of that goat, symbolizing entire forgiveness. And I guess over the years, people tried to symbolize the two goat offering allegorically in different ways. As a believers in Yeshua, some saw the offerings of the two goats as a foreshadowing of Yeshua's sacrifice and what he achieved overall. And in a way, it is true, as on one hand, he was sacrificed to Yehovah, and on the other hand, he carried away the transgressions, crimes, and sins of the people of Israel, and for that matter of all people. The scapegoat's carrying away of sin is, in a way, it's a picture of what is described in Isaiah 53, which, as we know, Isaiah 53 is all about Yeshua. 53 verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord, or Adonai, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Allegorically, we could also think of the two goats as a picture of the final judgment. One goat is destined for Yehovah and the Holy of Holies. The other is destined to be sent into the wilderness and ultimately destruction. One goat is a sin offering, purification and cleansing from sin. The other goat is sent to death carrying sin. According to tradition, the two goats stood facing the sanctuary as the high priest drew lots to determine which one was to be the sin offering to Yehovah and which one was for Azazel, or to be the scapegoat. After drawing the lots, the priest tied a scarlet cloth to the one designated as a scapegoat. Then he turned the goat around so it was facing the exit from the temple court and its back was towards the holy place. Every person should really ask himself, if I were one of the two goats in Yom Kippur service, which one would I be? Am I facing the holy place, or have I turned my back on Yehovah? Am I purified by the offering of Yeshua the Messiah, or am I wandering into the wilderness under the burden of sin? However, unlike the two goats, we don't need to be determined by a random drawing of lots. We can decide which goat we want to be. To be the scapegoat, we need to do nothing at all. Just carry our own sins to the grave till the end. To be the sin offering goat, we need to tune our hearts to Yehovah, repent of sin, and take upon us the sin offering of Yeshua's atoning death. Hebrews 9:11-14. But when the Messiah appeared as a Kohen Gadol of the good things that are happening already, then through the greater and more perfect Torah, which is not man-made, that is, it is not of this created world, he entered the holiest place once and for all. And he entered not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus setting people free forever. For if ceremonially unclean person with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifer restores the outward purity, then how much more the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to Elohim as a sacrifice without blemish, will purify our conscience from works that lead to death, so that we can serve the living Elohim. Just as this scapegoat took the sins of people of Israel and carried them away into the wilderness, so did Yeshua carry away our sins. When Yohanan the Immerser, or John the Baptist, as people know, saw Yeshua coming to the Jordan River, he said in Yohanan 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, who takes away the sin of the world." Once we begin to see the scripture in the Hebraic context, not only do they make more sense, but they also bring richness to our faith that we cannot have without this understanding. However, talking about scapegoat, a lot of interpretation has been done allegorically. Obviously, people try to make a sense of this two goats, goat sacrifice. And it is understandable. And in many ways, as I just said, it was making sense. It is true. However, I believe in the Yahshua view, there is always many different levels. And I would like to talk a little bit about different aspects of the scapegoat sacrifice. I believe the key is always in details, and as we search the word, we often realize that there are, as I said, different levels or layers behind the first impression. Let's just read again Leviticus 16:7-10. "He is to take the two goats and place them before Yehovah at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then Aharon is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Yehovah and the other for Azazel. Aharon is to present the goat whose lot fell to Yehovah and to offer it as a sin offering. But the goat whose lot fell to Azazel is to be presented alive to Yehovah, to be used for making atonement over it by sending it away into the desert for Azazel." Yes, and in its, as I said, in its action, the goat for Azazel represent, well, is loaded with all the transgressions of people of Israel and carry them away to some isolated place in the desert. In its action, the goat is a scapegoat for at least for two reasons. First, it did not die, so it escaped death by drawing the lot, allowed her to stay alive. And second, it was loaded with the sins of someone else, not its own, and therefore became the scapegoat. And that is how we know in our culture today. You are the scapegoat if you are wrongly accused of a crime you did not commit. Someone else's crime been put on you or attributed to you. Even I've been growing back in Russia, and we have that terminology being used all the time. I never knew that actually, based on Torah. So, but it's a common understanding. That's how people understand that. But when I read this definition, when I read the text, and when it says the one lot fell for Yehovah, another fell for Azazel, in my view, there is a different possibility that Azazel refers to a person rather than a God. Yes, the God was, as I said, to carry the transgressions to the wilderness, but for Azazel. Same as the other God was sacrificed, but for Yehovah. Does it make sense? Do you think it logical to question this? Anyway. And unfortunately, the word Azazel is only mentioned in Torah three times. And all three times in what we've been reading today in Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 16. It just doesn't give enough explanation. If this a person, then who is that person, and why is the God loaded with the sin of Israel sent to him? Well, we know for a fact that throughout history, people, and including religious leaders, have tempered with the world, correcting, changing, adding, and taking away from it, which we know is a result of corruption. One possible explanation to Azazel, however, can be found, and I normally don't do this, but I think for the purpose of the word we've been reading today, can be found in the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch describes Azazel as one of the, by the way, the book of Enoch used to be part of the collection of accepted books, and I believe it is still accepted in some parts as a part of the Torah, part of the whole scripture. So the book of Enoch describes Azazel as one of the leaders of a group of fallen angels in the days of Yared. Yared, as you remember, he was the father of Enoch, the one who was taking up heaven. So these fallen angels, according to the book of Enoch, married a human woman and to be responsible for the increase of violence and wickedness. And as we know, Bereshit, Genesis chapter 6, in a part support this account. It touches on this topic. Let me just read a little bit from the book of Enoch. And again, I said I normally don't do this, but I think I want to open up this, give a little bit different aspect and different possibilities. And that will give you better understanding what the scapegoat actually could be. So the book of Enoch describes Azazel as the one who corrupted people. And let us read, if you don't mind, put it. So from chapter 8, Moreover, Azazel taught men to make swords, knives, shields, breastplates, the fabrication of mirrors, and the workmanship of bracelets and ornaments, the use of paint and the beautifying of the eyebrows, the use of stones of every valuable and select kind, and of all sorts of dyes, so that the world became altered. It's interesting how it's said. Impiety increased, fornication multiplied, and they transgressed and corrupted all their ways. And in chapter 9 we read, Gabriel, Raphael, and Siriel and Uriel took, which we know is a part of sort of heavenly, angels, looked down from heaven and saw the quantity of blood which was shed on earth and all the iniquity which was done upon it, and said one to another, "It is the voice of their cries. The earth, deprived of her children, has cried even to the gate of heaven. Thou hast seen what Azazel has done, how he has taught every species of iniquity upon earth, and has disclosed to the world all the secret things which are done in the heaven." And finally, in chapter 10, again the Lord said to Raphael, "Bind Azazel hand and food, cast him into darkness and opening in the desert, which is in Dubail, cast him in there. Threw upon him hurled and pointed stones, covering him with darkness. There shall he remain forever. Cover his face, that he may not see the light. And in the great day of judgment, let him be cast into the fire. Restore the earth which the angels have corrupted, and announce life to it, that I may revive it. All the sons of men shall not perish in consequence of every secret by which the watchers have destroyed, and which they have taught their offspring. All the earth has been corrupted by the effect of the teachings of Azazel. To him, therefore, ascribe the whole crime was all sin. Again, I normally don't do this, but I thought it is possible give a little bit explanation. So account of the book of Enoch also, I guess, explains what happened in the pre-flood world. So in my mind it is quite clear, though we cannot verify the account of the book of Enoch, yet it provides a possible explanation to Azazel, as I said, who as a person or entity was to receive the God loaded with all the transgressions of the people of Israel. It reminds me of the word of Yeshua, and where it is in Mark 12:15-17, bring me a denarius so I can look at it. They brought one, and he asked them, whose name and picture are these? The emperor's, they replied. Yeshua said, give the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give to Elohim what belongs to Elohim. And they were amazed at him. How true are these words? In any way, the God of Azazel was the representation of that exact principle. Give the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give to Elohim what belongs to Elohim. And how strategic that is, and powerful that is. And as we read in the book of Enoch, all the earth has been corrupted by the effects of the teachings of Azazel. To him, therefore, ascribes the whole crime, the whole sin. And in Vayikra, we read in 16:21, all the transgressions, crimes, and sins of the people of Israel, the high priest, is to put them on the head of the God, which is for Azazel, and then send it away into the desert. Give the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give Elohim what belongs to Elohim. I believe this is a much deeper meaning. Yehovah, it's when we've been reading from book of Job, and we talked about it before, how Job had to suffer, and he was righteous, and he'd done absolutely nothing, but he was suffering. But actually, when we looked in details what actually happened in heaven, Yehovah was making point to the adversary, to making point that my servant will not fall. He is righteous. So Job was simply on the middle. The battle was in the heaven. It could be that when the goat was loaded with a sin, it was sent to Azazel. Possible. The one who, as in the book, you know, book of Enoch says, therefore ascribes the whole sin. His whole crimes came from Azazel. Why would Yahweh receive this? No. It's not his. He just gave it back where it came from. That's my view. So give the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give the Elohim what belongs to Elohim. Job 4:8-9. What I see is that those who plow sin and sow trouble reap just that. At the breath from Elohim, they perish. At the blast from his anger, they are consumed. Proverbs 22:8. He who sows injustice reaps trouble, and the rod of his angry outburst will fail. Mark 4:24. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Whether the story of Azazel can be verified by the book of Enoch or not, it certainly can explain another aspect of today's Torah reading. Let us read again. Vayikra, Leviticus 17, actually we didn't read it before, 17:2-7. Speak to Aharon and his sons, and to all the people of Israel. Tell them that this is what Yehovah has ordered. When someone from the community of Israel slaughter an ox, lamb, or goat inside or outside the camp without bringing it to the entrance of the tent of meeting to present it as an offering to Yehovah before the tabernacle of Yehovah, he is to be charged with blood. He has shed blood, and that person is to be cut off from his people. The reason for this is so that the people of Israel will bring their sacrifices that they sacrifice out in the field, so that they will bring them to Yehovah, to the entrance of the tent of meeting, to the Kohen, and sacrifice them as peace offering to Yehovah. The Kohen will splash the blood against the altar of Yehovah at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and make the fat go up in smoke as a pleasing aroma to Yehovah. No longer will they offer sacrifices to the god demons before whom they prostituted themselves. This is a permanent regulation for them through all their generations. Who would be those god demons? It is obvious that the people of Israel held on to the past traditions and idol worship. Sacrifices to the god demons obviously were a big practice. This is why Yehovah specifically instructs not to do it. Whether that was a remnant of Azazel, I can't certainly verify this, who taught man, as I said, and every species of iniquity upon earth, and has disclosed to the world all the secret things which are done in the heaven, or was the remnant of some other historical origin. The practice was troubling. This is why Yehovah clearly instructed to bring sacrifice to Yehovah, to the entrance of the tent of meeting, to the Kohen, and sacrifice them as a peace offering, simply to avoid ambiguity as to whom that sacrifice was done for. That makes sure it is not done to the demon god, but it was done to Yehovah, just to avoid any questions. This is quite clearly why Yehovah said, and we read it today in Vayikra, Leviticus 18:1-5. Yehovah said to Moshe, speak to the people of Israel, tell them, I am Yehovah your Elohim. You are not to engage in the activities found in the land of Egypt, where you used to live, and you are not to engage in the activities found in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, nor are you to live by their laws. You are to obey my rulings and laws and live accordingly. I am Yehovah your Elohim. You are to observe my laws and rulings. If a person does them, he will have life through them. I am Yehovah. We need to be thankful that Yeshua took upon himself all the sin and corruption of the world, that he not only carried away all of our sins, but that he also bore the wrath of Elohim for all the sins of the world. Whether the source of sin is called Azazel or Satan, or maybe it is the same thing. Yeshua bore that curse for us so that we can come to Elohim's holy throne clothed in his righteousness. Luke 11:28, but he said, far more blessed are those who hear the word of Elohim and obey it. Any questions?
Yeshua really brought the two goats together because he had all the sins, iniquities, and transgressions on his head, and it was you who were self-sacrificed.
Yes, and we've been talking about this, yes, correct. She said that Yeshua brought those two gods together, so in representing what he achieved, and yes, we talked about this, yes. Any other questions? It's okay, I'm not going to bite. Not today anyway, so. All right. All right, so if no question, let us go to Yeshua's Remembrance Service.